live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use. No doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 21st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so important to understand the supreme law of the land. I mean, our founding fathers gave everything for it. We need to preserve their legacy and stand with it. I know everybody wants to come up with a new mousetrap, a new better way, a new system, a new idea, a new whatever. But you know what? Nothing will replace returning to the principles that made America great in the first place. It's got a 200-plus year track record, ladies and gentlemen. Do not, please do not throw that away. It's so critical that we don't jettison or blame our problems on the Constitution, that we realize the Constitution is the solution. We need to first turn to God, live our lives as self-governing individuals based on God's laws, and then we need to use the supreme law of the land to demand government to be on notice, to say, listen, we're giving you limited authority, but I say it's limited and I mean it's limited. And we'll use the checks and balances to ensure that you know it's limited. And if you don't respect the limited nature of your service, then you're out on your ear. And we'll find somebody else who will. The checks and balances are brilliant, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the great restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Never forget that reality. It is about God, family, and country. It is about the protection of life, liberty, and property. And with that, Dr. Scott Bradley is with us. His goal and collegiate series to match to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Hope you had a fantastic Father's Day, sir.
Much and the same to you. A couple of things before we move ahead too quickly. You probably got an agenda you'd like to cover through here, but let me just, you mentioned a couple of things really quickly. One's the mousetrap, and the other one is how great the Constitution is. First of all, let me remind all of your listeners, and I'm sure everybody has this circled on their calendar right now, but today, June 21st, in 1788, the United States reached the threshold needful to ratify the United States Constitution. They had originally, remember, they had been called together in May of 1787 to revise the existing Constitution. That means amended, if you'll look that up in the dictionary. And you'll find that what they did in 1787 was set aside the existing Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, and they wrote a whole new Constitution over that hot summer, signed it in September of 1787. Now, here's an interesting little tidbit for those of you that are interested in rewriting the Constitution, but they think it's all safe because three-quarters of the states are going to have to ratify it, and nobody'd ever make a mistake on that like they did on the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 18th Amendment. You know, three-quarters of the states can really blow it. Anyway, what they did was they revised, meaning they threw it out and wrote a new one, and then they changed the ratification process. So they needed 9 states instead of all 13 of them, which is what the Articles of Confederation had required. And so on this date, in 1788, they reached their 9th state. So New Hampshire ratified the new United States Constitution, became the 9th state on June 21st, 1788, and thereby embraced, as a nation, the United States Constitution. Now, it's also interesting that in November of that same year, 1788, there was a big movement to basically revise that revision. And the only way to do that was an Article 5 convention. And James Madison very, very arduously argued against that because he said that it was high risk. I could quote his letter at length that in which he makes his case. But at any rate, today is the anniversary of the Constitution being ratified. And then you made the comment about what is everybody trying to do? Make a new mousetrap? What's going on here? You know, we gotta use a little bit more common sense than that. And of course, that is exactly what, well, I'll just read you a little statement by George Washington. He said, "If in the opinion of the people the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong. He said wrong. He didn't say you didn't like it, you didn't need it, you didn't want it, whatever. But if it's wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation. For though this in one instance may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. So here we, if we just by guess and by golly make a change, you know, it becomes, oh, I think this is a good idea. And that's an interesting, and I don't want to, again, take away too much from your program, Sam, but this is important. We have today those that believe the Constitution isn't, you know, that little pamphlet that I'm holding in my hands. It's thousands of pages long because of court cases that have modified it effectively by court cases. That violates Article 5. That is not a defined constitutional method by which we may change the Constitution. But people make the excuse, oh, we need a convention because look how thick it is now. And they hold up a book that's thousands of pages long, all annotated to all of the court cases and all that kind of stuff that's happened. And they say, this is our Constitution. No. This little pamphlet I'm holding in my hands is the Constitution, and it is what it says it is, and there is no way to
constitutionally amend it. And it is still the supreme law of the land, sir.
There is no question about that. However, there are those, mostly that have the court revisionist viewpoint, but there's all sorts of historians and everybody that have adopted it now, politicians and everything, that say you can modify it by court decision. Now, if that were the case, if we rewrote the entire Constitution and we started all over again and it was a clean slate and that was brand new and it was only 30 pages long, blah, 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 blah. If we did all of that, why could it not be modified, beginning instantly, by other court cases? It is not a constitutional way to change the Constitution. So we have what we have. We got to go back to Article 6, actually, which requires all to take an oath to it. Okay, all who hold office are to take an oath to it. And in so doing, they say, we're going to keep our actions within those bounds. So, and your lead-in sentences, you gave me a bunch of stuff to jabber about, the anniversary of the ratification.
I'm pretty good at that, sir.
Well, yeah, you restore the pot. But Washington's point is, don't change it by usurpation. And that's what almost every instance, every breath, those that are at the head of the government are doing is attempting to change it. And Washington warned so fervently against that. We could use a lot more quotations. That one is probably brief enough to be able to make the point. But, yeah, I hope you had a happy Father's Day as did everyone.
And Dr. Bradley, it's instructive to understand, too, whenever we've changed the Constitution, meaning by, you know, the 16th Amendment, 17th Amendment, 14th Amendment, the ones that you pointed to, and or by ignoring certain constitutional guidelines and provisions, mandates, if you will, that only the states use gold and silver for the payment or discharge of their debts, etc. Whenever we have violated the tenets of the Constitution, I would say the mandates, the directives, we have paid dearly for it every single time. And so that's instructive historically to understand as well. Every time you find a time when we've literally strayed from the fidelity to the supreme law, then we have paid dearly. And so that's what I say to those critics of the Constitution. You tell me when we've obeyed it completely and carried it out with fidelity that we've had problems. Then you tell me when we've strayed from it and when we've had problems. And the record is clear, Doctor.
Well, there is no question that is the case. And we can take some things that are currently on the table right this very instant. One of which, of course, is the effort of the general government. People call it the federal government, the national government. We could have that discussion. We've mentioned it a number of times. I generally call the government that most people call the national government or the federal government the general government, because that's how the founding fathers referred to it, because it was neither national or federal all the way. There were segments of both. It was kind of a mixed form. But at any rate,
This is the unique constitutional republic that the grand old experiment our founders talked about. We have elements of a lot of things. But the biggest thing is we look towards God, and this blend of checks and balances everywhere in the system is the key if we insist on it, Doctor.
Well, it is. And what's happening today is in every instance, as you point out, what are they doing that's right? You know, and what kind of disasters have come out of this? And even today, well, if you want to know the truth, the intention of the Founding Fathers was that the states were to run the election processes. It was closest to them. It was not delegated to the national government, general government, federal government, whatever you want to call it. It was not delegated to them. It was held by the states. And that was their intention from the beginning. Now, I can explain Article 1, Section 4 away if people, I mean, not away, but it helps people to understand what that's about, why people misinterpret that. But what's happening right now at the general government level is that there's a complete movement to usurp all power in elections, which would canonize what happened in the November 2020 election, and it would make certain that the elections may be stolen by those that seek to do so by the
general government. And let's be very clear. These are people that have sworn an oath to the supreme law of the land to defend it as is, not swear to undermine slash change slash modify it. Okay, this is a serious oath of office crisis that we're facing right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, New Hampshire ratifies. They became the ninth state and ratified the U.S. Constitution today in history, June 21st, 1788. What a blessed day that was. And an example set by the New Hampshire colony state. There you go. Dr. Bradley with me. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
What a blessed day that was, June 21st, 1788, when New Hampshire became the ninth state, or the ninth, what, colony? To virtually become a state.
At the time.
Yeah, there were so states. There you have it. I say there were states at the time, though. There were. But it's debatable. If you didn't join the Constitution, are you a state? Are you a colony? What are you? Between the Articles of Confederation, we left King George. We are in the middle of the Constitution. Some have joined, some have not. You know, it's debatable what you would call those scenarios? Are they states? Are they countries? What kind of reference do they have? And the reason that I highlight that, Dr. Bradley, is people need to understand that by our consent are we governed. But that's not an individual discussion. Sam Bushman can't just say, well, I reject that, buddy. There, I'm not doing that. Okay, this is a decision that has been made that all of us subscribe to, or we have the choice to, I guess, choose to leave. But this is critical to kind of understand that before all these alliances and associations, individuals have freedom before God. And that was proven when they rejected King George. And I highlight that a little bit for a reason, Dr. Bradley. All right, we'll try to get Dr. Bradley back.
No, I'm back here. I thought that perhaps. Yeah. Okay, let me just talk a couple of two or three.
I highlight that for a reason. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, first of all, yes, they defined themselves as states under the Articles of Confederation. It was put forth to the states on the in November of 1777. It was not ratified until 1781, after they had nearly lost the war under them. But they did denominate themselves as states. But the fact of the matter is, as you probably are inferring, that they had an independence that was that caused a pulling of different ways throughout the war, and that's why they nearly lost their war. And when the people today that are seeking to bring about a convention, a very, very high percentage of their proposed amendments that they would try to change our current Constitution with are a throwback under the Articles of Confederation, which we know was a failure formula because we nearly lost the nation back in the 1780s under that. But the fact of the matter is, let me just spend just a moment or two about what happened, and then we'll talk about the consent of the governed. Today, as I mentioned, is the 233rd anniversary of the ninth state ratifying it. They really, really, really needed Virginia and New York to be in, though. They had a critical mass of population and economics and kind of gravitas, if you will. They were leaders. But the thing is that they were very close on the ratification too. Virginia came in the end of June 26th, and New York came in the 26th of July. Where in, for example, in New York, if two people in the convention had changed their vote, the convention would have declined to join with the Constitution. North Carolina stayed out until after the nation had been on its feet and inaugurated of George Washington. They came in November of 89, and Rhode Island, after they started to treat Rhode Island more or less like a foreign power, came in May of 1790. But that's kind of, you know, even though we were ratified on June 21st, they really wanted Virginia and New York in, and they came in within about a month. So you talk about the consent of the governed, though. You know,
before we get to the consent of the governed, let's be clear, though. So if you're a state by the Articles of Confederation, you are not a state by the Constitution or some other document until you join.
That's correct. And Rhode Island was not coming in, and so they were treated as a foreign power until May of 1790.
That's my whole point. So you got to understand the relevancy of the situation that I'm discussing. I understand the term state versus whatever, but until they signed on, and this is what we kind of need to understand, that yes, we have consent of the governed opportunities, and it is by our consent. It is not by individual consent. Most things in America are individualistic, despite what the socialists teach you. But when it comes to government representation, it is not an individual decision person by person, or else the system cannot stand, Doctor.
Well, what happened in 1776 was that they brought forth the magnificent promise, if you will. And again, it was based upon Westphalian Treaty of 1648, where if a state became an individual nation, there was no foreign or supranational interference that could happen. They were truly sovereign, as equals among all nations. Okay, but if you go back to that declaration, it's a magnificent document. It would be wonderful to review it sometime. But You all remember the words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights." Okay, so the Creator gets mentioned twice in one sentence and mentions a few of those rights. It says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So that's the purpose of government, is to secure our God-given rights. Then the next sentence says, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, the consent of the governed is obtained on this ratification process we've been talking about. Actually, what happened was middle September, 17th of September, 1787, when the guys at the convention signed the document, they forwarded it to Congress and said, here's what we put forth. We recommend that you send it out to the states and let conventions there ratify it. Okay, and that was done. And that's the process that we talk about resulted in the ninth state joining the Union, if you will, on this date in 1788. Well, so that consent of the governed was obtained. And they said, okay, we will be governed by these people under these conditions. They required everybody that holds office to keep their actions within the bounds established by the United States Constitution. So when we hold an election, we are electing trusted representatives. They're supposed to be trusted. They're not anymore in my mind, generally. But we are electing trusted representatives that are to operate within the limits and bounds established by our consent for them to operate under. The legislature has certain powers, executive has certain powers, judicial has certain powers, but there are no usurpations. The general government is a creature of the contract being the United States Constitution. They were created by it. They have no other source of anything. If they do anything different, they're in violation, they're usurping the power, and their actions are null and void. So our consent was given as we ratified this. We do not give consent for them to do willy-nilly whatever they darn well please, usurp as Washington calls it. They cannot do that. They have a responsibility, a duty before God, and an oath. If you look what one of the founding fathers, Noah Webster, said about it, an oath imprecates. That means it invites, encourages the vengeance of God upon them if they violate it. Okay, now, I fear oftentimes that this nation has largely violated its oath before God for a lot of things. And so sooner or later, maybe we'll get a comeuppance. But the fact of the matter is that our consent is given by ratification. That consent may be withdrawn. It's the right of the people to alter or abolish their government. And that was saved in Article 5 of the Constitution when the founders said, okay, if we're wrong, if there's something that needs to be modified, it has to go through that. You can alter or abolish it freely and by peaceable means. Okay? But what's happening is plain usurpation now. What is happening is they're pushing us towards a revolution, if you will. Now, let's talk about nullification for just a second, and then we could talk about secession in a minute if you want. But nullification is a process by which the makers of the contract, the states, can say to the general government, you have overstepped your bounds. We are withdrawing your ability to do something like that, and we are calling you out on it. Okay, so that's called state nullification. And you know, Utah did it recently against federal law. They allowed medical marijuana. Or it's not marijuana, it's cannabis, but we can discuss that again later sometime too. But the fact is, federal law, if you will, says, nope, you cannot have cannabis for any reason whatsoever. It's all this danger. Will Rogers. Anyway, for those of you that remember that. But Utah did, but they didn't call it nullification, they just did. And so,
that's right. They don't want to highlight what it is, because then we, the people, as they get educated, will insist we do more and more and more of that when we want to roll back the federal government. And very few politicians have the guts when they know they're on the federal government dole. I use that separate from the general government, because the general government doesn't put people on the dole if it's constitutional. Ladies and gentlemen, incredible anniversary today. New Hampshire, ninth state, ratifies U.S. Constitution, June 21st, 1788. We need to ask ourselves this question all the time. We should always ask ourselves, is this authorized by the Constitution? Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds.
exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Police said Sunday they believe a driver unintentionally hit spectators at a weekend pride parade in Wilton Manors, Florida, resulting in the death of one man and leaving another person hospitalized. Tropical storm Claudette was downgraded to a tropical depression after battering the southeast over the weekend. Heavy rains, high winds, and flash flooding contributed to the deaths of 13 people in Alabama Saturday. Residents in southern Georgia, northern Florida, and the Carolinas should prepare for torrential rain and flooding and possibly tornadoes into Monday midday. Juneteenth celebrations over the weekend in Oakland, California, Aurora, Colorado, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Clover, South Carolina, and Flint, Michigan were interrupted by shootings and homicides. A Uganda Olympic team member has tested positive for COVID-19 upon arrival in Japan late Saturday. Japan's government has faced criticism for vowing to host the Tokyo Olympics. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root from my great friends at Freedom Fest. Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota? Well, here's your opportunity. This July 21st through 24th, thousands of liberty lovers are headed to South Dakota for the greatest libertarian show on earth, Freedom Fest, this time held at the Rushmore Civic Center in Rapid City, South Dakota, with a record-setting crowd. Here's your chance to make new friends and meet the country's top political and business leaders, authors, and filmmakers in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Some of the star speakers this year, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Drew, Larry Elder, U.S. Senator Mike Lee, U.S. Senator Cynthia Loomis, the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, Steve Moore, John Fun, Grover Norquist, Tom Woods, and the infamous pandemic mock trial. Go to freedomfest.com. Use promo code WAR50 to get $50 off the registration fee. That's freedomfest.com. With promo code WAR50, fly there, drive there, bike there, RV there, be there. Freedom Fest in South Dakota. Get your tickets now at freedomfest.com.
As inflation is beginning to grip America's economy, the massively expensive infrastructure bill proposal by President Biden won't be supported by most lawmakers. But a less expensive bill is in the works. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau has more.
A bipartisan group of nearly two dozen senators have pitched a much smaller proposal than the Biden administration's $4 trillion infrastructure plan, which invests in roads, bridges, and other projects. But that's not good enough, says Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
One of the concerns that I do have about the bipartisan bill is how they are going to pay for their proposals. And they're not clear yet. I don't know that they even know yet.
Senator Sanders drew a line in the sand on NBC's Meet the Press.
Some of the speculation is raising a gas tax, which I don't support, a fee on electric vehicles, privatization of infrastructure. Those are proposals that I would not support.
Democrats are seeking to include climate change mitigation and new investments in areas like child care in their proposal.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats can still get an infrastructure bill without Republican support. USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, Dr. Scott Bradley with me, Mondays and Fridays on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. The good doctor doing a great job, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match to preserve the nation. Amen to that. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Check that out, would you please? Ladies and gentlemen, there's an event tonight to promote the Constitution, to promote constitutional counties across the country, promoting faith, family, and freedom. It's today. It'll be 4 o'clock at Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah. A meet and greet with the speakers, and then 6 p.m. headed to Smith Family Park. The Arise USA Tour in Far West, Utah. Love to see you there. I'll be there. Richard Mack will be there. Many others. Hopefully Dr. Scott Bradley and Lowell Nelson and as many people can go as will be there as well. It's going to be a great event. So beware of that. That happens tonight. It's free. We'd love to see you there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about New Hampshire ratifies U.S. Constitution. Today, that's June 21st. But back in 1788, wonderful time. We should always ask ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we hear something from bureaucrats at all levels of government, whenever government brings up any topic, here's the question that should be first on your mind. By the way, I got this from the 10th Amendment Center. I don't agree with them on everything, but I agree with them on a lot of things. But here's the point. We should always ask ourselves, is this authorized by the Constitution? Doctor, that's really what we ought to be asking ourselves all the time right now, huh?
Well, in your little news break there, I mean, here we had this nearly $4 trillion, holy cow, infrastructure, so-called thing that has a minimal thing on infrastructure and a whole bunch of other goody things in the goody boxes. But the question may be, okay, let's go to the Constitution. Let's look at Article 1, Section 8. Oh, my goodness, post roads. That's the only thing that can be done. But, you know, they've had all sorts of shenanigans, like, for example, back in the Eisenhower era, because, you know, he'd been in Germany. You maybe heard about that after World War II. But at any rate, he loved the German Autobahn. And so he decided, oh, we're going to build a freeway system all across America, and we're going to federally fund it. But the fact of the matter is, there is no authorization for that. So what did he say? We're going to have to do this for national defense. We need to, just in case our airplanes, our big military airplanes, need to land someplace, we need all these straight, long, paved areas that they can put their plane down. And you know, we need at least 1 mile every time to put these big strategic bombers down, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to cover this out of a defense perspective. So they put a spin on it, hold their mouth just right, and they do it the way they want to. But in fact, a plain English reading of what is said in the United States Constitution would indicate, no, they're off their rocker on this thing. And so you're right. We need to ask ourselves every time something comes up, is this constitutionally authorized? Now, but just for a second, you mentioned the 10th Amendment people, and you mentioned that you're not in full conformance to their doctrine, and I concur with you on that wholeheartedly, because they believe that anything that is not prohibited the states, based upon the 10th Amendment, they can do whatever they darn well please. Now, I say to people,
in their mind, the states could jettison the Second Amendment because it doesn't hold sway over the states, would be their kind of view. See, I disagree with that.
Exactly. Absolutely. And ask yourself, I mean, the stupidity of this, and it is bizarrely, insanely stupid, would violate the premise of the Declaration of Independence. And as we mentioned earlier before the news break, you know, that they're endowed, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And mentions a few, as I said, and then
states,
it says it's
states,
the purpose.
The point is, states can't take away those rights. Neither can counties, neither can cities, neither can any other government entity. It's a God-given, unalienable or inalienable right. It can't be taken away. So not only do we got to ask ourselves, is this authorized by the Constitution? We also got to say, is this codified and protected in the Constitution? Can the Constitution be used as a safeguard to protect us? And that's from states just as much as federal government. Everybody believes if we just turn everything back to the states, the world would be great. I don't agree. Government at all levels can be a disaster. The states are were the most abusive under COVID, more so than the federal government or the general government by far. So beware which poison you pick is the point, brothers and sisters. Dr. Bradley?
I'll give you an example. This happened a few years ago in Utah, and it's still code in Utah. And it's a bizarre, stupid law. But what happened now in Utah, and we could get into why Utah and all the Western states are second-class citizens, because they were admitted with the general government withholding access to their lands and keeping control of it at the general government level. That lands are the source of wealth. And so what happens is that if you have it withheld from the states and the people, you can't reach your full potential. You know, timber, water, minerals, whatever, agriculture, everything comes from the land that is true wealth. And so anyway, the general government has withheld, Nevada, it's over 80% of their land. Utah, it's over 2/3 of the land mass. But what happened, the Utah legislature really blew it. What they did is they wrote a bill that says if we can ever wrangle this, so the federal lands, they call it, were to be let loose of, they could come back, it would be held by the state of Utah. Well, the state of Utah would become the sole purpose and holder of these lands. They, instead of the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, it would be the DLM, the Division of Land Management. It's a mini-me kind of thing. And remember, the definition of socialism is government ownership or control of the means of production and distribution. The lands are the means of production and distribution. So in perpetuity, this law in Utah would take control from the feds, if you will, and put it in the state hands, and the states would therefore become mini-me, federal government. They're controlling the means of production and distribution. In addition to that, the 47th Federalist Paper by Madison would be in full violation because they would create laws on those lands, they would enforce the laws on those lands, and they would adjudicate those laws on those lands. And it would be held in perpetuity by the state. Again, it's what's the difference? The government, you know, you could say, oh, the state ownership of. Well, it's a state of Utah, the state of the United States. It's the same thing. And so what's happening is that the people are trading one poison for another, but they're not going to be benefited by this and have full liberty restored, and consequently will be as bad a case. And boy, I've had debates with legislators and stuff. They say, well, wouldn't you rather have it run closer to home than far away? I don't know. Would you rather have a tyrant in your home, like a bad husband or father, or would you rather have somebody that lives in another state that's a tyrant in his home? And the
what
idea
I'd rather
is
do
you
is use the checks and balances and God-given inalienable rights for the American people to be self-governed enough to demand and insist on the checks and balances to chain government down to their proper role. That's what I'd prefer. I think both of them are a Hegelian dialectic lie. I want neither. Thank you very much. I'll choose choice C, sir.
Well, absolutely. That's the problem. You talk about that Hegelian dialectical process. They give you choices A, B, C, D. Well, would you rather be hanged to death or shot to death or stabbed to death or dragged behind a truck to death? The answer is D, none of the above, okay? They don't give you the correct choices. They don't give you an option that has a correct answer. And so that's what happens all too often when we get people that, first of all, don't understand or won't understand. I don't know if they're evil, they're deceived, or they're ignorant. I don't know. I can't judge them.
Ignorant and deceived both is the problem for most. There's a few evil ones there, but most aren't. They're just deceived, and they're just not able to think through it. They're always kind of pursuing some other agenda. Unbeknownst to them, they're being undermined at the very core. But ladies and gentlemen, let's finish up this consent of the governed discussion, Dr. Bradley. And then at the start of the final segment, I want to bring up a story or two to highlight the points that we're making here today on this incredible anniversary where New Hampshire became the ninth state to ratify the United States Constitution. June 21st, 1788. To me, it's sacred. To me, it's something to really celebrate and to move everyone in the country to understand we just need to return to those principles, ladies and gentlemen. We do. All right, let's finish on the consent of the governed issue because people believe they can just individually opt out, creating kind of an anarchist state or suggestion that it's an individual discussion. I don't think that it is, Doctor.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And by the way, let's carry that consent of the governed to its next step. I mean, here we have, you know, we're to the 233rd anniversary of the Constitution being ratified. Okay, fine. Okay, now we come forward to the states. And this, again, addresses the 10th Amendment people. The consent of the governed, let's take the state of Utah. We ratified our Constitution. And it has, if you read the first article, a restatement of the Bill of Rights, you know, the right to keep and bear arms. In fact, it has stuff in there the Bill of Rights doesn't have in the United States Constitution, because the idea of protecting and preserving private property is something that the states have got to absolutely step up to do. That's in violation of the DLM. But at any rate, the right to private property, and we ratified a Constitution that protects those, and everybody's got to keep their actions within those bounds also. So, yeah, it's not an individual thing. It's a thing that the states do it too.
We the people, if you will. Dr. Bradley returns in seconds for the final segment. I want to talk about the Supreme Court on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, Quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Understand the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, should be the political religion of our nation, if you will. Okay, I'm just telling you right now, the checks and balances make it the greatest grand old experiment tried and successful in history to preserve freedom for the inhabitants who live within its jurisdictions. Ladies and gentlemen, we should always ask ourselves, is this authorized by the Constitution? We should also ask ourselves, hey, can the states violate the Constitution? The answer is no. Usually the state constitutions, to a great degree, support and in greater detail protect the God-given inalienable rights that we're discussing. But the consent of the governed is something that you need to understand. That you know what? If you live in the jurisdiction of the supreme law of the land, you gotta obey those guidelines in the Constitution. All right? That is the supreme law of our land. And I know some would say, well, I don't agree to that. I never did. I was born into it. I couldn't change it. I understand. You can leave, but what you can't do is individually supersede it. Because if you say that I have the right to individually supersede it, then you can create an anarchy situation, a mob rule. Because what if me and 100 or 1,000 of my buddies decide that, hey, doesn't apply to us? Can we then create a war and conquer? See, at some point, there's a vacuum of power that if it's not filled by something, it will be filled by a greater force. We need to be very careful to understand these principles. Well, here's what happened. The Supreme Court literally has dodged Obamacare 3 times now. Congress won't solve it. The courts won't solve it. They're literally forcing on the people socialism. Supreme Court, quote, uses technicality to rescue Obamacare, and it won't decide the legitimacy of the individual mandate over standing. Bob Unruh, WND.com, with a piece. So what he said was, hey, they don't have standing. And the reason they don't have standing is because Donald Trump made the amount forced to zero. Therefore, it doesn't really apply. Therefore, there's no standing. Therefore, we're not going to answer or deal with the broader question, leaving it in the hands of Congress to supposedly solve. The Republicans in Congress promised us they would jettison it if they got the chance. They lied. They voted over 40 times when they knew they couldn't get it passed to make you believe they were for it. But when push comes to shove, they did not stand tall. They left the law in place. Donald Trump tried to gut it by making it zero, but the mandate dollars zero. But now they're using the Supreme Court using that against Donald Trump, saying, well, if it's zero, it doesn't apply. But what stops Biden from making the number above zero? Nothing. And then will it apply? Well, we've already ruled on that. We're not going to discuss it again. So they've created a no-win situation. It's kind of like the IRS, Dr. Bradley, where the courts won't deal with the IRS, the Congress won't deal with the IRS, but yet they're still here to abuse us all. They're passing these things by hook and by crook and manipulating us into a socialist utopia against the will of the people. And the only way that I know that this can be resolved is to return to the Constitution, to use the checks and balances where states could say, you know what, we're nullifying, this does not apply in my state. But since the states are on the dole, that's a very long-haul discussion as well. So I submit to you that what we need to do is get the states off the dole, and we need to return to honest money, or else with their dishonest money, they can rule nations and manipulate us into compliance. And I don't know how much we can do to stop it. But anyway, there's the technicality in the Supreme Court, Doctor.
Here's the deal. We have a bunch of attorneys in the Supreme Court, a bunch of attorneys in the Congress, and oftentimes an attorney in the Oval Office. But the fact of the matter is that they use weasel words. They're trained for that ministry, this priestcraft, if you will, where they worship the use of words in order to manipulate into certain things. And they're using weasel words. In this particular instance, they're using weasel words to say, you didn't hold your mouth just right. Well, you asked this question, so we're not going to answer it. And so it's like the Sadducees and the Pharisees back in Christ's time. They were trying to manipulate and construct a circumstance that would be in their favor. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court has always done. When Judge Roberts and his court ruled on this Obamacare thing in the first place, they used weasel words. Basically, if you look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, it says that Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes. Oh, there you have it, said Roberts. We can lay and collect taxes. You know, the fact is that that is not a universal granting of power. Basically, what it is says you can lay and collect taxes.
Hold on, because if it is, they can take 100% of your income and say that's what we need for the government. We'll just write you a check, doctor.
Well, and that's absolutely what they're doing already. I mean, think about this for a second. We can lay and collect taxes for highways, infrastructure, for health care, for you name whatever you want, to redistribute wealth around the nation for any purpose whatsoever. And the intent is that the founding fathers put into this Constitution is they have the power to lay and collect taxes to carry out the responsibilities that are delegated to them. You will search in vain for anything that says, oh, yeah, this healthcare thing, yep, it's in there, mm-hmm. Or these infrastructure thing, yep, they're in there. No, they're not. And so this weasel wording of Roberts' court is just a phenomenal disappointment to me of people that say, oh, yeah, they're conservative. No, they're not. They're liars. And these people will manipulate whatever they want and however they can, and that's what attorneys do best. They're trained in that ministry. But that's where we are right now,
folks. Isn't it comical that Donald Trump puts these Supreme Court justices in there, supposedly changing power, but yet they use the technicality to say there's no standing. Why? Because Donald made the number zero, and if it's zero, it doesn't matter. And they literally mock Trump as they sit in their robes right now, doctor.
Well, that's the problem, is that they are just simply there manipulating, and they're trying. It's like the Dreadful Scott decision, you know, this 1857 decision, where Dred Scott, and without going into a whole bunch of detail, we don't have time, but he was a black man that had been a slave, and he'd been carried into free states, and he was saying, I'm a free man now. I don't live where there's slavery. Anyway, the Supreme Court ruled that black people can't be citizens. Well, wait. It's astounding to me that they'll come up with any decision they want. And Buchanan wanted this decision. It was kind of like, we're going to solve this forever and forever. Well, that's what they do every time they meet. And that's their weasel words. And I'm just sick and tired of it. I'm sure most people are too. But the fact of the matter is, the Constitution does not authorize Obamacare, or probably 80 to 90% of the stuff they're spending money on anyway. But they've decided, based upon, well, the Butler case was one of them back in 1936, back in the FDR days, where they said that they'll do the general welfare. And in the preamble, it talks about promote the general welfare. Well, if you look at the definition of general welfare, it has nothing whatsoever to do with redistributing wealth. It has everything to do with good government, a predictable, stable government. That's what the general welfare is. And the predictable, safe, stable government.
But unless the people are educated and stand against their lies, though, hey, we can't stop it. We need to use checks and balances to throw the bums out who interpret it that way and find people who understand the supreme law of the land. Two stories before we end the hour, Dr. Bradley. In USA Today right now says long shot effort seeks to move 21 counties from Oregon to Idaho. They say the greater Idaho movement faces a daunting task. Its proposal requires the approval of both the Oregon and the Idaho legislatures and Congress to make this happen. Your response?
Well, absolutely. It's an absolutely long shot, but there are some people that are longing for freedom. Oregon is at the general government level there, where the all of their power, their voting power, is in the large metropolitan areas, which are socialistic to the core. And so the people that are out in the rural areas are chafing under that. And it is a long shot because it will take that. And if you read Article 4, Section 3, so it says there, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states or parts of states without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned as well as of the Congress. So yes, constitutionally it will take Idaho and Oregon's legislature and the United States Congress. Very little chance of that happening, although it does have, it's more acceptable to Idaho. The general government, they might say, you know, those Republicans won't get it, two more senators out of this, so maybe we could do this. It's the Oregon people that know that they're going to starve to death at the end of the vine without a reasonable economic basis. So the Oregon is probably going to be the least likely to do it. But yeah, constitutionally, Article 4, Section 3 requires that both legislatures and the national general government.
Do you support the effort, Doctor?
I would love to see it. I would love to see. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I mean, I'll make a general worldwide prediction that as people become more and more disgruntled about the horrific draconian things that have been exercised upon them, and it's come to a kind of a head. It's not done yet. I think we haven't seen nothing yet, by the way, on the COVID bizarre plandemic. But I think that as people become more and more and more fed up, sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're going to see more and more governments get the leadership will be changed out. Now, you read about what's happening in Sweden right now, or you heard about that on the news. You heard about what happened in Israel with Netanyahu. I think that there will be a general review of people that have the ability. They will do it peaceably if they can. But I suspect that what's happening is people are being pushed up against the wall in so many places. And in Oregon, it happens to be right now where there's some of the counties are saying, we're done with this. We don't want to have Portland hung around our neck. I mean, I was in Portland here about a month ago. It looks like Beirut, what Beirut used to look like back in the 80s. It was like the Gaza Strip. I mean, it looked like
Like Miami, camp. Third world kind of status stuff. It's crazy town.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
I'm telling you.
I support the effort, ladies and gentlemen. I know it'll be a long haul, but I understand the people are trying to assert their independence. I commend them for it. I hope it's peaceful. And I will say this, though. Without God, though, they're not going to make it. We need to make this a God-fearing, not
bloodless.
A godless. We need to make it a bloodless, God-fearing idea. And if we turn to God Almighty and our hearts are humble and right before Him, I think there'll be success there to assert their independence. If they don't directly put God at the center of it, I'm predicting that it'll be nothing but disaster for the people. I want to end with a question. You know, they've been locking us down over the COVID now, and I think they realize the cat's out of the bag on that. They're not going to be able to lock us down too much more on COVID, even if outbreaks happen here or there. Next, they're going to push for climate change discussions. Do you think the climate change lockdowns are coming soon, Doctor?
No. I think the people are going to say, the heck you say. I believe that there's going to be effort in that direction. But I must tell you, though, that the big media tech places, I personally am under attack. I'm in danger of being completely deplatformed forever because of the things that I've been saying in regards to the draconian efforts that are being made currently. And I'm looking for another platforming methodology to get the message out. But I am under attack. I don't meet community standards, you might know, Sam.
Of course not. Ladies and gentlemen, we the people haven't been engaged. We've let everybody else, all the liberals, build our platforms. We've failed. I've been trying to build platforms for 20 years. People don't listen to me. Maybe they'll start, huh? Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. Join us tonight at Liberty Hall and at Smith's Family Park in Far West, Utah. 4 p.m., Liberty Hall, 6 p.m., the park. It's free. Be there. I will. Hope you're there as well. God save the Republic.